there's Maurice Ravel's ballet, Daphnis et Chloe, with the Sinfonia of London and Choir. And apropos, here on the New Classical FM and the Oasis Midweek Wednesday, it is Mark Wigmore here, our look at arts and culture. Bravo Niagara is presenting the world premiere of the new ballet, Kimiko's Pearl. The Canadian production is based on the Japanese-Canadian internment of the Second World War. The ballet is based on a story by Emmy Award-winning writer Howard Reich and inspired by the family history of Bravo Niagara co-founders Christine Morey and her daughter Alexis Spieldenner. The duo serve as co-creators and producers of the ballet as well. Kimiko's Pearl tells the story of four generations of the Ayukawa family in Mission, B.C., whose lives were forever changed. From 1942 through 1949, the Canadian government uprooted, interned, permanently dispossessed, and displaced over 22,000 Japanese Canadians. The world premiere performances happen this weekend at the First Ontario Performing Arts Centre in St. Catharines, Great Space, Saturday, June 22nd at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, June 23rd at 2:30 p.m. for the matinee. Tickets available at the personal website for this ballet, kimikospearl.com. This was a ballet born during the pandemic. The production, which has been in development for over 3 years, brings together a diverse team of creators from Canada and the U.S. and uniquely bridges three generations of Japanese Canadians. Kimiko's Pearl comes to life on stage through a talented roster of artists and dancers, including original music by composer Kevin Lau. He's been commissioned by a selection of Canada's most prominent artists and ensembles, and his work has been performed internationally in the U.S., Denmark, Italy, France, Germany, Austria, and the Czech Republic, as well Hong Kong. He works in orchestral, chamber, ballet, opera, and film music, and served as affiliate composer of the TSO from 2012 through 2015. His other credits include scoring for ballet choreography superstar Guillaume Cotes and his Le Petit Prince, as well as the piece Dark Angels. He's been working on Kimiko's Pearl since the pandemic. Kevin Lau, welcome to the New Classical FM.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great to be with you. I'm fascinated just as a composer and somebody who's been at this for some time. We just talked about some of your successes. I mean, was there a moment in your young life being interested in music and going through your original training where you thought, okay, I want to be the creator. I'm the one who's going to start to build the music around these different productions? Or was there a piece of music or a moment that changed that for you?
Well, I think I've always been interested in music, and my first foray into music was really through piano, which me and many others started when we were very young. But I started to dream about creating when I was a teenager. Mm. I tell this story often that I remember watching some blockbuster movie in the theater. I think it was Jurassic Park, and just being completely floored by the musical score for that film and realizing that it was something brand new, that this was not an old piece of music. Somebody who was living was creating it. And from that moment on, I think that the connection was made between the possibility of actually making music and doing so on this terrific canvas of the orchestra. And so I think that was kind of my initial way in.
We were just talking about Stravinsky a couple days ago during his birthday anniversary, and he would be a little bit careful about working with violin, for example, because he liked working on the piano as a composer. I mean, in this day and age, is it sort of in between piano and computer? What does your setup kind of look like?
Well, the mechanical portion of the creation process takes place on my computer largely, and so I'm still, but it is still a very old-fashioned way of doing things. I do a lot of sketching by pencil and paper, and then the computer portion of it is what I liken to almost like a word processor. It's just a way of engraving that notation onto something that is more legible than my handwriting. So that's how I write. But the piano is always a good tool for facilitating the imagination, and as is walking, taking long walks, or sitting in a coffee shop. Right. So there's lots of ways of getting the music out.
We just had Guillaume Côté here for his latest production that he did with Robert Lepage, but Le Petit Prince is part of his repertoire. You are part of that. I mean, between that and the TSO, there must have been big moments for you and kind of built your confidence towards where you are right now.
Yeah, and I think I was very, very lucky to have had both those experiences practically simultaneously. And so the moment I graduated from U of T, I was appointed affiliate composer with the TSO. And then just a few months later, I was asked by Guillaume to do The Little Prince. And those were independent of one another.
Right.
It's a dream come true, but also definitely a lot to take on as a young composer. And I feel like I've been gifted that experience, and it has helped me a lot with my current work.
You sort of look back at it, I think, later and say, how did I do that exactly?
I do think that often. And yeah. Sometimes I think that, and I think, I don't know if I can do that again. Yeah. So I try not to think about it too much.
Yeah, right. It's a hustle, for sure. If you're just joining us, Kevin Lau is with us, the composer of the new production of Kimiko's Pearl, the ballet getting its world premiere performances this weekend, Saturday, June 22nd at 7:30 p.m., Sunday, June 23rd at 2:30 p.m. at the First Ontario Performing Arts Centre in St. Catharines. Tickets available at kimikospearl.com. And so let's get into this. Talk to me about, I guess it would have been Christine and Alexis coming to you and saying, we want you to be the person for this. Talk about that relationship and what they sort of set you out to do.
Well, I'd known Christine and Alexis sort of peripherally through my affiliation with the Niagara Symphony Orchestra, which is an orchestra very close to my heart. And since they're based in the same region, I think they got a chance to see some of my work performed there. And we'd been talking for a long time about working together, but never really landed on something until Christine brought up the idea of doing a project based on the Japanese-Canadian internment. And this was something that I very much wanted to do, not only to tell the story of this very important and dark period of Canadian history, but also because it allowed me a chance to tell their story personally. I thought that was a really interesting emotional connection. And you know, our initial idea for this project began as something just very, very small. I think they wanted to do something with dance and maybe a couple of instruments like violin and cello. And it was going to be like a 5-minute vignette almost. Hmm. And somehow over the course of our conversations, we turned that 5-minute chamber thing into a full-fledged ballet with sound design and unusual techniques for kind of expanding on these instruments within the chamber ensemble. So incorporating dancers from the Royal Winnipeg Ballet and the Boston Ballet and elsewhere. So it's turned into a huge, huge behemoth. Yeah, I was very glad to be along for the ride.
So it starts out with maybe two instruments, and now you're kind of into a chamber ensemble and maybe some interesting choices for instruments. Is that the idea?
Yeah, so the native instruments are really still violin, cello, and harp, and flute as well. We have a flute player doubling on both Western flute and traditional Japanese flutes. But the music is much more than those four instruments, because we've had an opportunity to record the instruments separately over a period of time. And then what we did was we took the sounds of those instruments and actually began to expand upon them and to transform them in interesting ways, to layer them. Very early on, I think because the subject matter of this ballet had so much to do with the excavation of identity and the ways in which identity becomes repressed through this multi-generational traumatic experience, I think we decided that chamber ensemble as a traditional form of instrumentation just wouldn't quite cut it. I really wanted to do something where the music actively reflected these layers. And so we found an opportunity to do that in this way, where the profiles of the instruments themselves had hidden dimensions to them. And we could kind of bring out those dimensions in the score as the ballet unfolded, in a way mirroring the journeys of these characters and their transformations. So it was very exciting, if terrifying at times.
Yeah. I mean, let's just talk a little bit about what we're seeing from the choreography and the dancers. We're watching a 15-year-old Toronto girl, so it's sort of modern in that respect. And she finds it's the classic idea. You find the big family trunk and you open it and you start to find diaries and keepsakes, and that kind of spools us into the story of 80 years earlier. Is that the idea?
That's right. And Howard Reich has written a wonderful treatment of this that puts us into, you know, Kimiko is in some ways an audience surrogate, where we sort of see the story through her lens and through a contemporary lens. And I think that had an impact on the musical score as well, because it allowed me to really put myself in the shoes of Kimiko and to think, well, what is the music of Kimiko? What is she hearing? Where is she drawing from? And what is new to her? What is a discovery for her? And so walking hand in hand with her along that journey. And then to see this music be taken to a whole nother level by Yosuke Mino, who is just a breathtaking choreographer. And someone who I really enjoyed working with.
I was fascinated growing up in BC that we would stumble upon these remnants, these ruins of different areas where these internment camps had been, and you had seen where people had sort of been all put in one place, and they were humbling moments. You know, I remember growing up and just seeing that and trying to understand what must have happened here, and it is haunting, and I think it's pretty important to put some light on it all these years later.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And I think what's interesting is that ballet is such a unique way to tell this story, because it's like music, it's a sort of nonverbal art. It communicates a lot beyond the level of language. And I think to have that kind of artistic experience where you're feeling it with your body, rather than just your mind, is really, really special. But I want to emphasize as well that despite the dark light that we're shedding on this chapter of history, that one of the really motivating factors for me as I was writing the music was that I thought of this as a healing journey and a kind of multi-dimensional process of healing, because sometimes it's too overwhelming to think about that experience. I certainly went to those places, but the guiding light in some ways was thinking of this music as being a gift for principally for Christine and Alexis to begin with, and something that would allow them to experience some kind of resolution, some kind of catharsis, and then have some hope and some faith that that sentiment would translate outward toward members of the Japanese community. And beyond that as well, because we're all Canadians, we all took part in that history in some ways.
We did, and we want to not just put a light on it, but we want to take some time to process it and be better going forward. I mean, that's the whole point of doing a piece of art like this, I think. Yeah. I'm going to remind people once again, the world premiere happening this weekend, June 22nd, 23rd, St. Catharines at the First Ontario Performing Arts Centre. So you can get your tickets at kimikospearl.com. That's kimikospearl.com. Now, what's happening in April? This sounds like a pretty big deal with the TSO.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we are, we're going to take the score for this ballet, and there is going to be a symphonic suite that will be developed from the score that the Toronto Symphony will perform in April. I believe it's April 9th to 11th, 2025. And I think this is wonderful because this is really in the tradition of so many ballet scores. You know, the wonderful thing about ballet music is that it can have two lives, so to speak. It can be this sort of rich emotional support for the dance. But as we know with pieces like The Rite of Spring, the music can have a shelf life beyond just that of the ballet itself. And so I'm very grateful to the TSO for taking a chance on this project that has not premiered yet, but they, having worked with them, and I think they were eager to be part of that process with Bravo Niagara as well. Although it is going to be a very, very interesting challenge, because unlike the Stravinsky suites that I've been comparing to, the instrumentations of these are so different. We have one that is chamber ensemble augmented by sound design, which I want to just give a shout out to Aaron Tsang, who has lent his considerable and brilliant gifts to creating the sound design and recording for this project. But then we have the orchestral version of it, which is a whole other can of fish. just a totally different palette. Very, very rich and very, very lively. And so they are actually quite two different pieces, but drawn from the same source.
Well, fascinating that we're going to see that transition from what's going to happen on stage this weekend to something different and expanded in April, happening with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra as part of the Masterwork series. Kevin Lau, it's been a real pleasure. I know you've worked on this for a long time, so congratulations.
Thank you so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
It is Kimiko's Pearl, and like we mentioned, it's been going for a long, long time since the pandemic. I remember Christine and Alexis telling me about this way, way back, and now it's happening June 22nd through the 23rd this weekend in St. Catharines. Tickets at kimikospearl.com.